Good evening and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. If you listen to our show, you have seen and heard our guests discuss the college football playoff and how things should go and how they have been going. Tonight's guest has a lot to say, not just about the college football playoff, but the team he covers, the University of Tennessee Knoxville Volunteers. Site manager and lead writer for Rocky Top Talk, Terry Lambert. Good evening, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, not bad, not bad. Now, before we jump into the main topics, I've seen a lot of Tennessee offensive skill players have decided to enter the transfer portal. Why do you think that is, and do they have enough still left in Knoxville to not feel a huge loss?
None of them have been a really big deal. Mostly reserves. Josh Heupel and his staff, interestingly enough, really kind of stuck to their guns and played a top three at receiver, a top two at running back. So I wasn't really surprised to see Jimmy Callaway, Jimmy Holiday, those guys enter the transfer portal. A couple running backs, all reserves. I don't think it's a really big deal. We'll probably get into this a little later, but Tennessee's got a pretty big recruiting class coming in. You talk about Cedric Tillman leaving, Jalin Hyatt's probably gone. That's gonna leave some guys with some opportunities, but I really don't see this as a really big deal going forward.
Now, were you surprised to see the Volunteers behind the Crimson Tide as far as the college football playoff standings?
Listen, I will give you a take that you're probably not going to expect, but you cannot go lose to South Carolina by 30 points and expect anything different. To me, Tennessee fans want to talk about the criteria that's been leaked and whatever. You go lose to South Carolina by 30 points, you should be punished. And I think Tennessee is rightfully at number seven right now. Eye test. Is Alabama better than Tennessee? Yeah, they probably are right now. And, you've got the Hendon Hooker injury going on that factors in. I don't care what they say. It definitely factors in. So I don't have a problem with it. Alabama lost, what, two games on two last snaps. And then Tennessee went and lost by 30 to South Carolina. So I do not have one single issue with Tennessee being number seven and Alabama being number six.
Now, you mentioned the commits. They have a guy named Nicholas Ima-Lavea, a quarterback from California.
Yeah, the $8 million man reportedly signed for $8 million in NIL deal. Number three overall player in the class, I believe. Joe Milton, redshirt senior, 6-year senior, is probably going to start next season, but I believe it is going to come in and really factor into this battle, I believe. In the spring, he's getting here for bowl practices. So that's going to be a really interesting storyline to watch in the spring. Can Joe Milton fend off the five-star, $8 million man? I believe is the next quarterback in the Tennessee pipeline here. And if he lives up to the hype, Josh Heupel is going to be very excited. And have somebody to follow in Hendon Hooker's footsteps.
From what you've seen of him, who would you compare his game to at this point?
It's tough to say. I'm not a great high school evaluator, but I see the big arm. I see a 6'4" frame, very lean. A guy that can make all the throws. His 7-on-7 stuff is really impressive. But I can't go in too far deep on the tape, but I will say this kid's been to Knoxville 5 or 6 times this season, and living in California, that's a really big deal. So tells me that he cares. He didn't have to make that many visits. Tells me that he loves the program already. So Tennessee fans are really excited about this kid. Again, getting in for bowl practices too, early enrollee, you're going to see a lot of this guy in the spring.
And if you look further down, the Volunteers definitely have defensive help coming in, Chidavion Bradley and Caleb Herring. They're
yeah,
both edges. One is from Murfreesboro, which is Herring. The other is from Platte City, Missouri, which is Bradley. Now, they have height, but they don't have size. So do you think they'll play more of a rush linebacker type?
Yeah, I expect them to. James Pierce, Joshua Josephs from last year's class, kind of the same deal here. Tennessee adds two more. Rodney Garner, defensive line coach, is just he's awesome. He's pulling these kids in and really building up the platform here in Knoxville. Tennessee is going to be really deep at pass rusher going forward. They're going to be young. Byron Young probably going pro after this year, 5.5 sacks. Tyler Barron's going to come back. But this young core, you've now got four blue chippers that are ready to be in this rotation. So the Tennessee front four going forward, especially on the edge, is really exciting.
Now, two of the names that people might not know about, I think probably play decent roles, is Shamarud Umarov, which is a left tackle, offensive tackle out of Alpharetta, Georgia. Huge, 6'5", 340, 335. And Trevor Duncan, which he's an athlete, but they don't really know where they're going to put him. I think he's from Knoxville. He went to Knoxville Catholic. What have you heard about either one of these, especially Duncan? As such, they're listing him as an athlete at that size. Have you heard anything about him in particular?
Yeah, it sounds like Duncan's going to end up on the defensive line, going to enter a crowded rotation there. But, you know, you can never have too many of those guys ready to roll. Tennessee rotates a ton, you know, playing with that tempo that they've got. You rotate a ton, you keep the guys fresh. He's going to factor in with Herring and Bradley and all those guys. I want to flip it to the offensive side. Ethan Davis, a high four-star tight end prospect. I think he's got a real chance to play early. You've got Jacob Warren, who could come back. He's a senior. He's got the COVID year option. Princeton Fant has expired his eligibility. Miles Campbell entered the transfer portal today. So Ethan Davis has a chance to really come in and grab some early playing time. I do expect Tennessee to be active in the portal and at the tight end position. But Ethan Davis is one that I've got my eye on. And then Cameron Seldon, athlete, pretty much have said that they're going to run him out at running back to start. Lenith Whitehead, Justin Williams Thomas entered the portal yesterday. So Cameron Seldon has a chance to steal some snaps, whether it be 5 to 7 snaps, something early on, playing at the running back spot. So Ethan Davis, Cam Seldon, those are two guys I've got my eye on the offensive side of the ball.
When I look at the amount of commits, it seems like Heupel has found his spot. When he was hired, were you initially kind of worried that, you know, he wasn't going to blend into the culture of Tennessee football?
And not necessarily that. I was worried about his ability to recruit. And frankly, the NIL situation has changed that. Tennessee is kind of leading the way with a company called Spire. A collective leading the way in terms of NIL money and contracts. So I think they've gotten out in front of the NIL deal, and I think that's really helped them. So a pleasant surprise to see Tennessee in the top 10, you know, currently with this current class. And the 24 class is off to a really good start. Tennessee could have a top 5 class next year. So there's only one way to beat Georgia and Alabama consistently, and it's to pull top 5 classes. So everybody's main concern with Heupel was the ability to recruit, you know, those Southeast ties and Oklahoma boy. Is he going to have enough juice to pull these guys from the Southeast? So far, he's doing it.
Now, before we go to the commercial, you have a player in Jalin Hyatt. Tennessee has a long history of phenomenal receivers. Go to Peerless Price. Go to Carl Pickens, go to Joey Kent. They've had receivers left, right, and center. Willie Gault, from those who are my age and a little bit older. Where does Hyatt fit in that pantheon of great volunteer wide receivers?
Man, if he gives us another year, he'll be right up there, because I mean Tennessee hasn't had a receiver capable of putting up these numbers in, gosh, since what, Robert Meacham? I mean, in the mid-2000s. So if he gives another season, he's going to be among the all-time greats. I don't think he will. I think he will turn pro. But Hyatt has, you know, we all saw the ability when he was a freshman. Jeremy Pruitt recruited him, got him to Knoxville. He shows up against Alabama, you know, ironically enough, 2 years before he goes off and gets loose and has a couple of big plays. And then 2 years later, scores five touchdowns against them. So that game alone, that Alabama performance, five touchdowns, I don't have the number of yards in front of me, but that was almost worthy of a statue on campus. So he's right on up there. Certainly one of the best receivers in terms of single year statistics that we've ever seen in Tennessee.
I agree. Now, when we come back from break, I want to kind of touch on more of this and kind of get your takes on different things involved, not just the Vols, but SEC football and the college football playoff. But that's after break. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs. Terry Lambert is a site manager and lead writer for Rocky Top Talk. Terry, when you look at the SEC and you look at the championship game, realistically, does LSU have a chance?
No. No, they don't. I mean, Georgia's just so far ahead of everybody. LSU kind of strung things along. They won a bunch of close games. You know, and I'm not even saying Georgia's been particularly impressive down the stretch. You know, they kind of let – you go back to the Missouri game, they let them hang around. You even look at the Georgia Tech game. You know, they kind of slept, walked through the first half there. But I just kind of feel like they're going to turn it on when they need to turn it on. And LSU, Brian Kelly just doesn't have the depth to compete with this Georgia team, in my opinion. So I look for Georgia big.
I agree. I think they will put up, they'll win by at least three touchdowns. Now, in the next couple of years, you'll have Tennessee and Oklahoma stepping in to the SEC. Two-part question. How do you think they'll fare? And do you think that how rough of a welcome will they get to the conference?
Man, I've thought about that a lot. I don't really know. I just, Texas has all the resources in the world. They should be so much better than they are. It just hasn't happened in recent years. And then Oklahoma, you know, Lincoln Riley leaves. What do you have there, right there? I don't know. They've had their worst year since I can remember, quite honestly. I think it's poor timing. I think Lincoln Riley kind of knew what he was doing, bolting to USC when he did. And, you know, I think history will kind of shine down on him for that decision. Texas, you know, they can go off at any time. You know, Arch Manning comes in. If he's the one, that's going to prop them up. My question, maybe to throw back to you, is what does the SEC look like in terms of the division? You know, are they going to have divisions? Are they going to be 116 team conglomerate? Is it, what does the schedule look like? So I think we've got a lot of question marks before we can answer that question.
Do you think there's a possibility, like, or not possibility, but there's not a realm of thought to go to three divisions, or not three divisions, but go to like kind of split up the teams a little bit more where you'll have teams out in the West all play each other and teams on the East all play, because at times it doesn't seem like it. But I think what the SEC will look like, in my opinion, is on the field, I think that this is the time when Alabama comes back to the pack and they stay there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it feels like we're, you know, I've buried Nick Saban, what, five times now, and he's come back to life and won another natty. But I think you're right. I don't know what the answer is, whether they go to pods or a single division or no divisions, you know. But it's definitely going to be a big change. And, you know, what are the protected matchups? You know, from a Tennessee's perspective, Tennessee will probably get Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt. It does. Do they get four protected matchups? Then that would bring Georgia into the equation. So you kind of have some pluses and minuses with every different situation. So it's kind of hard to project.
I look at it like this, where just on talent, it's teams. I mean, now you got Auburn with Hugh Freeze, who that's another dynamic. And Florida will always recruit Florida athletes who are, you know, among the country's best. But I just see this as Georgia, Tennessee, everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm not sleeping on Florida. I just that whether it's with the current administration or not, I think they'll figure it out, and then I think they'll be impatient enough to pull the trigger if it doesn't happen with Billy Napier. You know, I just kind of think they'll figure it out. So I'm not ready to go quite that far. But Tennessee's been a sleeping giant for so long. It's been amazing that they've been down for as long as they have. But can they catch Georgia? I don't know. Kirby's a runaway freight train right now. So as good as Josh Heupel's been, I mean, you saw that outcome down in Athens. There's still a pretty sizable talent gap there.
With the that's not talent gap in the SEC. Do you think that the SEC moves will keep forcing other conferences to either merge or be split apart by defections?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of the thinking that we end up with four major power conferences. You know, I kind of think either the Pac-12 or the ACC or the Big 12, one of those will die and kind of merge into one another. You know, you've heard the rumblings about Oregon joining USC and UCLA in the Pac and the Big 10. You know, what will happen to the Big 12 right there? I mean, is Utah going to carry your flag? I don't think they will. So what happens there? I don't know. And then, you know, you've got the whole playoff system that was just officially released earlier today. You're going to a 12-team playoff with six automatic bids from your conference champion. So do you let two group of five teams in at that point? I don't know. So you're going to have some moving parts here in the coming years. But I do think one of the Power Five conferences kind of dies and folds into each other.
I have a weird thought that I think that it'll be the Pac-12, because I think that somehow, yep, some way, because the Pac-12 will kind of fold into the Mountain West. And I somehow see the ACC raiding the whatever's left in the American Athletic Conference, and whatever they can possibly, if there's a top Sunbelt team that could probably like grab, I think the ACC will stay because of basketball. I think the Pac-12, they really haven't been it for a while, and I think that they will be the first one to fold. But I think this helps the Mountain West. This helps the Big 12, because in the middle of the country, you have that, you know, you have Oklahoma State, your Kansases, and things like that. And I think that that will help, and that will force teams to kind of get better, because now that you have all these teams coming into the Big Ten, it's just one of those things that are interesting. Now, looking at the college football playoff this year, this weekend, who do you see losing, or who's the team most likely to lose, TCU or USC?
I'm going to go TCU. I think Caleb Williams is playing with his hair on fire, and I don't think Utah can beat them. I've been a big TCU fan, even though Tennessee needed them to lose. I love what they're doing. You know, everybody tells me that they're going to lose every week, and they just keep winning. This Kansas State team is pretty tough. To beat them again would certainly be an accomplishment. I think USC gets in, but I think that TCU game is really, really interesting. But then again, I don't think TCU can play their way out of this thing unless they lose by 50 points. I think regardless of outcome, TCU is in. So I think with the way it's set up right now is the way you see it on Sunday morning.
Now, if by some strange that TCU and USC lose, who gets those final two spots?
Ohio State. They're going to put Ohio State in, and I can't see them going to lost Alabama, to lost Tennessee over Ohio State. I think Ohio State has everything they want, the big brand. You know, they certainly – I mean, Tennessee has a better resume than Ohio State. I'll just say that. Alabama doesn't, frankly. Tennessee has a better resume than Alabama. But, you know, you factor in the Hendon Hooker injury. You factor in the 30-point loss to South Carolina on the road. They're going to put Ohio State in. It's just the easy thing to do. It's the least messy thing to do. That's something I don't want to see because I really don't believe in Ohio State. They've just kind of coasted through the season, in my opinion. I'd really like to see Caleb Williams get a shot at that Georgia defense, but I believe that's what would happen.
Is there any way that Georgia doesn't make the national championship game?
Again, Caleb Williams. He could do some things. We've seen this Georgia offense go cold. That Missouri game really stands out. But again, they get to play in Atlanta. It's pretty much a home game. USC, they won't travel well for that. Their fans won't travel well for that. It's going to be a sea of red in Atlanta. But still, Caleb Williams, I mean, he's a deserving Heisman winner. He's been hot. He could do some things to that Georgia defense. And if that Georgia offense takes the day off, it could get pretty hairy down there. So I'll give you about a 10% shot of that.
Now, you are also a contributor to the Music City Miracles. They cover the Tennessee Titans. Is there any way that Mike Vrabel comes back next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vrabel has established a really nice culture in Nashville. It's a tough personnel year. Ryan Tannehill, they don't really have a chance to do anything differently there. They had to trade away A.J. Brown. Offensively challenged team, but a really solid defense. They're going to find their way to a AFC South divisional crown and probably lose in the first round of the playoffs. But the culture is strong there in Nashville. Titans are going to sleepwalk their way to 10 wins, but unfortunately not much more.
Now, if they do, they definitely need receiving help. Is there any receiver in this draft that could possibly be around where the Titans would be drafting? And who would you want them to pick?
It's interesting. It's early. Kayshon Boutte is a guy that has, you know, got a lot of preseason hype, hasn't really delivered. That's a guy that has been consistently mocked to Tennessee down there in the mid-20s. Jackson Smith and Jigba has been hurt all year. If he tumbles, that's a guy that John Robinson would take. That's kind of his style, taking the injured guy that tumbles 10 or 12 spots. And then Jalin Hyatt, you know, I'm seeing his name pop up here in the middle of the first round. Titans don't have a lot of speed. They don't have a lot of game breaking ability. He's not really their style, but it's something that they would need. So getting a guy that can stretch the field would do a lot. You know, when you consider Derrick Henry's running the rock, pulling the safety up top. So, it's a deep receiver draft. I think they're in a pretty nice spot there in the mid-20s.
With so much out there, and what is coming up on Rocky Top Talk?
Well, it's been a lot of talk about the South Carolina debacle. You know, going into that game, we all just assumed Tennessee would win by 30. And roll to the college football playoff, and that wasn't the case. So kind of picking up the pieces here, regrouping, beat Vanderbilt 56-0, a surging Vanderbilt team that had beaten Florida and Kentucky. So that was a really nice win. It was good to see. You know, Butch Jones had Tennessee on the right track back in 2016, Alvin Kamara, Joshua Dobbs, and ended up losing by about 30 points to Vanderbilt. So we didn't want a repeat of that. Tennessee comes out and smacks Vanderbilt like they should have. So You know, now we're looking at the bowl games, looking at the Orange Bowl. Now you've got some shenanigans potentially with Ohio State not wanting to go to the Rose Bowl. So maybe that kicks Tennessee down to the cotton. But still, New Year's Six Bowl, 10-2. I mean, year two of Josh Heupel, considering where he came from, you can't ask for much more than that.
Exactly. Terry Lambert from Rocky Top Talk, also Titans, their Music and Miracles. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Yeah, man, anytime.
This has been another episode of the AdDrop Podcast.